Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
A breakdown in talks between the Teamsters and UPS, the latest offer called an insult. Randy Weingarten speaking out on last week's Supreme Court decision regarding student loans. And today on the show, we check in with the Insulators, Local 19, and later, the staffing crisis at Social Security. Welcome to the Wednesday, July 5th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Brett Large. Brett serves as business manager of Insulators, Heat and Frost Insulators Local 19. That's insulators19.com. And they cover a number of counties in Illinois and Wisconsin, from Rockford, Illinois, to Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin. A couple things we're going to talk about. Senior Signing Day. They recently had their graduating apprenticeship class perform a ceremony similar to what you see with the high school seniors and what they do for Sports Signing Day. So a lot of excitement there. Also, this is pretty cool. The first female competitor from the Midwest States region to compete in the Master Apprenticeship Competition in Houston this month. That's at the JAC Conference in Houston. I'll tell you, we've been talking a lot with the trades over the years about getting more women, people of color, involved in the trades. It's happening, not as quickly as we'd like it to happen. But when you have an event like this, when you have a female that obviously knows exactly what she's doing, now competing in a master apprenticeship competition, well, that's pretty significant. We'll also talk about the importance of insulation, and this is all posted on their website, insulators19.com. Decrease in energy consumption not only saves money, but it's important to the environment as well when you think about that. Less energy consumption means the decreased use of fossil fuels, which in turn reduces greenhouse gases. Health and safety of employees, possibly the most important reason to install quality industrial and mechanical insulation. And if it's not installed correctly, well, that could lead to burns, falls due to condensation, dangerous mold, noise, you name it. We'll touch on all of these with Brett Large. Second guest on the show is Donna Winston. Donna works for the Social Security Administration, and she is a member of AFGEC220.org. The C stands for Council. She's been working at the Cincinnati office for about 13 years. She's also a delegate and representative for Women Fair Practice, and she'll explain what that's all about. We have a problem at Social Security. It's a staffing crisis, and apparently Social Security, instead of hiring more people, they're promoting internet services to the baby boomer generation. And I want to tell you, every day you got 10,000 people turning 65. Now, the age for Social Security has been bumped up. I think it's around 66, 67 right now. But bottom line is, they call that the silver tsunami. You got a lot of people that want their Social Security benefits and not enough people to help them out. The training process for new hires is set up for failure, according to Donna. And as a result, there's people that, you know, decide to be employed at Social Security and they say, why am I working here? This isn't for me. Apparently, too, federal employees, and we'll talk more about this in a survey administered by a nonpartisan group called Partnership for Public Service. They ranked the Social Security Administration as the worst place to work in the federal government. Now, the employees are not happy. They don't feel empowered to make decisions or do their work. They're overwhelmed by their workloads. They're watching, you know, new hires quit after a couple of weeks. Despite this, this is amazing. Despite the agency's inability to manage their workforce, the American public has ranked Social Security as the second most trustworthy federal agency, right behind the National Park Service. That's pretty significant of what they're putting up with. Got some numbers on what I just talked about. 76% of members surveyed stated that their overwhelmingly large workloads prevent them from performing their jobs to the best of their ability. 9 out of 10, 90%, said they know someone that has left their job due to overwhelming work stress. 8.5 out of 10 say they know a coworker that has sought therapy or medication to deal with work stresses. On top of that, this is real sad. It now takes over 7 months to issue a decision on a disability claim, which is 3 months longer than the 120 pre-pandemic disability claim processing time. Sadly, in 11 years, 100,000 people have died while waiting for their disability decision. That's horrific. That's horrific. So Donna will be our second guest right here. Donna Winston, Social Security office down in Cincinnati. And now a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. $17 billion in assets under advisement, serving the needs of Taft-Hartley funds, corporations, public funds, endowments, foundations, as well as religious organizations. Well, talks are not going well between the Teamsters and UPS. The latest offer was so bad that Union President Sean O'Brien called it an insult. His team of rank-and-file bargainers got up and walked out of the session. This was on June 27th, with O'Brien declaring UPS must put its last, best, and final offer on the table right away. They returned the next day. UPS did not budge. Such refusal means the company would force the union's 340,000 members to walk when their current contract expires at the end of this month, July 31st. Sean said the following: the largest single employer strike in American history now appears inevitable. Executives at UPS, some of whom get tens of millions of dollars a year, do not care about the hundreds of thousands of American workers who make this company run. They don't care about our members' families. Sean goes on to say UPS doesn't want to pay up. Their actions and insults at the bargaining table have proven they are just another corporation that wants to keep all the money at the top. Working people bust their asses every day. Well, they don't matter. O'Brien also warned the union team will not emulate the Teamsters' prior leadership and keep talking on and on without a strike. Now, in the last negotiations, then-President Jim Hoffa ended with the contract, keeping the hated two-tier wages that UPS workers did not like. Hoffa's board, using a now-repealed section of the union constitution, overrode the rejection and accepted the contract. That sequence angered workers, which led to new union leadership. O'Brien said, when we say the current contract expires July 31st, we mean it. Not in 6 months, not next spring. We demand a historic new contract August 1 with more money in our members' pockets immediately. UPS has wasted enough time and hoarded these record profits. Our members want what they have earned, added Secretary Treasurer Fred Zuckerman. This is what hard bargaining looks like. This is labor's leverage, and the Teamsters are not afraid to use it. Come August 1, it's going to be damn hard for UPS to ignore us any longer. Now, neither side released specifics of their offers, but UPS, their offer also did not address another big issue for the Teamsters and for all workers, and that's abolishing the two-tier pay system. Over the years, UPS has shifted more and more of its newly hired drivers to the second part-time lower-paid tier. UPS has continued to seek a cost-neutral contract during economic negotiations, a union said in a statement. The world's largest delivery company made it clear to its union workforce it has no desire to reward or respectfully compensate UPS Teamsters for their labor and sacrifice. UPS, in so many words, profited hugely from the pandemic with its warehouse workers and drivers carrying the load. Listen to these numbers. They earned almost $14 billion last year, up from $800 million the year before. That's almost double earnings from $8.2 billion in 2019, $8.7 billion in 2020. Executives and financiers have pocketed the money. Workers, nope, didn't go there. Didn't go in their wallets at all. From 2012 to last year, that 10-year period, pay and perks like stock options, other incentives, rose by 161% for the people at the top, which is almost six times the 28% increase for rank-and-file workers, according to the report. That translated into $14.7 billion for workers, while investors piled up over $50 billion in dividends and stock buybacks. Wall Street investment firms, by the way, they own 72% of UPS stock. The Teamsters contract is important for several reasons. UPS now has the largest market share of any freight delivery company and the largest profits. It's also the largest private sector contract in the United States. Pretty significant there. We'll see what happens. Clock is ticking. American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten issued the following statement responding to last week's U.S. Supreme Court decision in Biden versus Nebraska. This had to do with the student loans. Today, the court launched a full frontal attack on young people's futures. If there was any remaining doubt, the majority has exposed themselves as a group of politicians in robes determined to put the interests of their wealthy supporters over the lives of working families. Between the affirmative action case and this decision on student debt, the court has decided that if you or your family has the ability and means, you can succeed. But if you're a struggler or striver, well, you're on your own. For decades, students have been told that a college education is one of the most important vehicles to get ahead, but years of disinvestment and the actions of predatory loan servicers drastically tighten the shackles of debt, destroying students' budgets. And then you throw in the pandemic that made it worse. So the Biden administration stepped up with a plan to help. Randy goes on to say the right wing's bad faith legal argument, adopted wholesale by the justices, this was a 6-3 decision, is shameful in its cynicism and ruinous in its impact. Even though the law is clear, the president has authority under the HEROES Act to help ease COVID-19's burden and cancel debt for 40 million Americans. The court's failure to address the obvious issues of legal standing constitutes stunning malpractice. Wow. She's a former lawyer. She was a Wall Street lawyer back in the 80s, and now she heads the American Federation of Teachers, 1.7 million strong. All right, quick break. When we come back, Insulators Local 19, back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this is a portion of the show sponsored by iMed. Switching to Managed Vision Care may save your fund money and deliver a better experience. So here's what you do. Go to imed.com/union. And you will learn a whole lot more. All right, let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin right now. And joining us on line number one is Brett Large. Brett is the business manager of the Heat and Frost Insulators, Local 19. Nationally, insulators are sponsors here on America's Workforce, insulators19.com. Brett's been an insulator for 34 years, and we got a lot to talk about on the show today. Brett, welcome to America's Workforce. Let me ask you, 34 years ago, you were a very young man, I would assume, and you decided to go this route. What made you decide to go with the Heat and Frost Insulators?
My brother actually is the one that kind of talked me into doing it. I have cousins, uncles, and that have been in Local 19 for a lot of years prior to this. And my brother had been in for about 10 years and was the one that told me to check it out, and that it's been a great career for me to give it a shot.
Good for you. How long have you been business manager now?
I've been business manager now for almost 19 years.
Wow. Long time there. How many members in 19 right now?
We have about 300 active members.
300 active. Is that pretty constant? Up, down, what?
It's pretty constant, really. We fluctuate a little bit up and down, but for the most part, it's pretty constant, right around 300.
Good, good. How's your apprenticeship program doing right now?
Apprenticeship program is doing great. It's growing quite a bit and really pumping out some great candidates out of there. And our coordinator is doing a great job of teaching them.
I understand you had this senior signing day. I need you to explain what happened and when it happened. Go ahead.
So we, it was actually the brainchild of our organizer, Yvonne Hirata, kind of came up with the idea of trying to really do something like this here. And it's similar to like the signing days they have for in sports, college sports and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Similar concept, and he got working with some high schools in the area and stuff, and found some great candidates through the different high schools and that, and kind of put this thing together and invited the students, the parents, and all that sort of thing. So right after they graduated, they went basically from graduation cap to a hard hat, and got some sponsors with Milwaukee Tool and some of them to, you know, kind of buy into the process and the program. And so a couple of weeks ago, we had our first signing day. Went really, really well. We had a lot of our employers there. Our Contractors Association was represented. We had the state Department of Workforce Development for the state of Wisconsin there. Superintendent for the school and the principals from the schools and stuff. And it just really went off great. It was a turned out to be a great event. It was exciting for the guys to for the future apprentices to kind of come in and kind of get a different feel for something, get them excited about it, get them excited about their careers, and help them understand a little bit more about what they're really stepping into, which is a career, not just a job.
Sure. How many graduates do you have altogether?
So in this first signing day, we just did three apprentices in this first signing day kind of thing. We want to kind of grow it from here. We have about 65 apprentices in the program right now.
Okay. So this is the first senior signing day that you did then. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. This is the first time we did it, and it was just trying to get it rolling.
So let me ask you, there's a lot of trades that need workers, and you know, the push for high schools for kids to go to college, you know how that's been going. And I was just talking about, you know, the student loans that a lot of people were counting on. Supreme Court said no. And there's just hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of students out there that are struggling with student debt. But the colleges don't, I mean, well, the high schools don't seem to even bring that up in their counseling sessions. So I'm just wondering, how are you doing in that area, in your territory? I mean, you got Southern Wisconsin and part of Illinois over there. How are we doing as far as reaching out to those high schools to get them attracted to, like in your case, the Insulators?
Actually, it was tough for a little while, but we've kind of found a new way to do it, gotten them excited about it. We've actually been doing really well with it recently. We basically, by showing them that with schools, when you go on to college or that sort of thing, if you get accepted into the university, you got to get your student loans, you got to do all those things. You're going to be paying those loans off for a long time. Here, you end up with no student loans at the end of your four-year degree. Mm-hmm. With this, we have 100% placement. There's not a lot of colleges that can brag about 100% placement in your field of choice. This gives people, they're able to earn while they're learning. We give them the paid training, paid related schooling, all that sort of thing. So it's really been received really well. The parents are really buying into it. And I think that's what the senior signing day was really about, is kind of showing there's another alternative out there to going to school. It shows people that you can get out there, you can make a good living, have great benefits, and do it without being inundated with student loans.
Mm-hmm. Now, the sell for the Insulators, and I saw this connected to your website. By the way, we're speaking with Brett Large, business manager, Heat and Frost Insulators, Local 19. They're based in Milwaukee. You got environment, health and safety, and obviously saving money. And I've learned a lot. Frankly, I've learned so much about the Insulators because every month we check in with Pete Almini, who heads the Labor Management Trust, and he is so well educated on issues regarding insulation. And I know he's pushing the Federal Mechanical Insulation Act. We just did a segment with him, actually two segments with him last week. But we're at the crossroads right now. I mean, you're hearing so much about climate change, and there's people that are saying it's a bunch of garbage. But bottom line is, there's some weird things going on in our environment, and the Insulators, they're right in the middle of it all. And I bring this up because energy consumption. I mean, with insulation, you're saving money. I mean, right there. It saves the environment because less energy consumption means decreased use of fossil fuels. Is that part of your sell to get them in? I mean, there's a lot of trades out there. They're all hurting. But the Insulators have that advantage. Is that part of your dialogue? Is your pitch to the students of the students that might be the workers of tomorrow?
Absolutely, it's part of it. We try to show them how you're not just doing a job; you're actually doing something to create something for the future. And when you're doing this, you're doing it in an environmentally friendly way to be able to save energy, to to reduce the our carbon footprint and do all that sort of thing. We try to show how insulation is not just something you're throwing on pipes or ductwork or tanks or boilers, chillers, how it's actually something that is, it's helping the environment. It's helping lower our emissions, lower our energy consumption, all of those sorts of things. And I think it kind of resonates with today's youth. It resonates with people who are a little bit younger today. It wasn't as big a thing when I was a kid. It's a lot much bigger thing now. People are paying attention to it now a little bit more. People argue back and forth, like you said, of global warming and all those sorts of things. We can argue that all day long, maybe the causes of it, I suppose, but there's something going on, like you said, in the environment. And we can do something to reduce that, to make it a little bit better for our future. And so that is something that we try to push, and it's been received really well.
Good, good. Well, hopefully that will continue because, this class that you just graduated, I mean, they're going to be there for 30, maybe 40 years. You want to make sure that the world is intact during that time. And there's a lot of work out there. Let's be honest about that. You know, Brett, I got to take a quick break here. Brett Large joining us from Milwaukee today. He is a business manager of the Insulators, Heat and Frost Insulators, Local 19. Insulators19.com is their website. Later in the show, we're going to go down to Cincinnati and check in with Donna Winston. I'll tell you, she's got a lot on her plate. She's with the Social Security Administration, also a member of AFGE. That's the American Federation of Government Employees Council 220. And she's going to talk about the Social Security staffing crisis, which is horrendous right now. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Hi, this is Liz Schuler, president of the AFL-CIO, and I am a huge fan of Flash and America's Workforce radio and podcast.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Before we rejoin Brett Large on behalf of the Insulators, I got to give a shout out here to all the construction workers, the laborers in Pennsylvania. You may have seen what happened a couple weeks ago on I-95. This was in Philadelphia. There was a tanker truck that overturned. There was a fire, and pretty much the road collapsed. The road collapsed, and it's all fixed. This was fixed like within 2.5 weeks. Amazing story. And President Biden said in a statement, I-95 is reopening ahead of schedule thanks to the grit and determination of operating engineers, laborers, cement finishers, carpenters, teamsters, and so many other proud union workers doing shifts around the clock. He thanked the workers and complimented Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro, other key Pennsylvania lawmakers and key federal officials, including Senior Advisor and Infrastructure Implementation Coordinator Mitch Landrieu, who himself tweeted credit to Pennsylvania state officials and the specific labor unions that did the repairs, along with Pete Buttigieg, who heads the Transportation Department, the head of the Federal Highway Administration, U.S. Department of Transportation officials. All of them were at the site within hours of the accident that caused the closure. Biden pointed out that the emergency repair was 100% federally funded. All approvals were given as quickly as possible. And he said, we are proving that when we work together, there is nothing we cannot do. So hats off to all of those that joined in on this. That was just an incredible accident and a major highway area. I mean, I-95 in Philadelphia. Imagine how many cars go through there every day. And they did this within weeks. So hats off to all of those involved. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Brett Large. Brett is the business manager of the Heat and Frost Insulators, Local 19, based in Milwaukee. So you had their first female competitor. I'm so glad we're talking about this because we've done a lot with a woman by the name of Gina Walsh. She joined the Insulators back in the late 70s, different time in America. And boy, she always told us the stories how difficult it was as a young female getting involved. Well, times have changed. Times have changed, and I know the trades, all of them, are working to get more women, people of color, involved. And you have a competitor here. I hope I'm pronouncing this. Is it Elena Toholka? Is that her name? Am I saying that right? Okay, good, yes. Good. So she's going to compete in a competition. Is it this month? Give me the details on this. This is pretty fascinating.
Yes, Iron International, and that holds a master apprentice competition. Lena's one of our apprentices, and she competed, you know, locally, and was our representative to the Midwest States Conference, which is the locals, 12 locals that are in the Midwest. And she competed there and won that competition there, done a great job. And so now she will be representing Local 19 at the Master Apprentice Competition for all of the locals throughout North America in Houston, coming up in just another, basically, about a week and a half.
Very cool. Very cool. Is this a first for you, for your apprenticeship program?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, it's the first time we've had a female champion. Last year, we actually had won the competition in the Midwest, went on to the international, didn't win the international competition, but we had a young guy that represented us there for that one. And then this year is our first female competitor for this.
So Brett, did you recognize something in Elena right away? I mean, for her to compete in the next week here, this is significant, truly significant. But you know, there's some people that are born into this. Talk to me about her when she first came on board.
Yeah, she's a special young person. She's gritty. She's determined. She's hardworking. She just learns and takes to it. Just amazingly. Her mother and father both served apprenticeships and worked throughout her local. Her father's still in the local. Her younger brother just started an apprenticeship about a month ago. But her, I mean, everybody saw in her right away her qualities that she has. Her employer actually was excited as soon as they got her. Within a couple of months of having her on the job, they called up and they're like, we'll take 12 more just like her. She's just one of the hardest working people. She's honest. She's just a great person to be around. Very humble, very relaxed, and just does such a great job. Our apprentice coordinator was trying to get her to do this and was pushing her and pushing her and pushing her. She kept saying, no, no. She's just, you know, very humble person. And finally, at about the 12th time of really pushing her, she finally agreed to give it a shot and just kind of knocked it out of the park every step of the way on this.
Wow. After the 12th time, I love that. I have to ask you, because of what she has done so far, has that sparked an interest in your local that more females should maybe consider going into the insulators? Is that happening yet?
Yes, it is, actually. It's she's almost like a media dream, really. She can, you know, a young female that is so successful, so good at what she does, she represents herself so well that it's really kind of, it's taking off. People are taking notice. They're getting excited about it. She helps us out with, she's helped us with some career fairs, with some of those types of things, helping get other young people involved, especially showing that young females can be doing this and that it's something that, you know, they can do and they can actually enjoy their life. They can get themselves set up to a great career and they're not excluded. Everybody's part of the same thing. It truly is an exciting thing to watch. I got to see her parents go through apprenticeships and onto this, and now watching this next generation of them coming through, it's really a great thing to watch.
Oh, they got to be so proud of her. That's cool. So are you going to be down there? Is a team of people from 19 going to watch her this month?
Yep. Yeah, there will be our apprentice coordinator, our organizer, myself, our business agent, our president. Yeah, we're all going to be down there kind of cheering her on and just encouraging her to do the best she can. Just try to have fun in the process.
And how many competitors will there be? I don't know if you know that right now, but do you have a ballpark idea?
I'm not sure how many competitors there are, actually. There's got to be close to, I would think, about 10 to 12, maybe.
Okay. We'll see what happens here. Well, keep us posted on that. I'd love to, if she wins it, we'll talk about it here on America's Workforce. That's what the show's all about. We're union strong, union pride. That's what we're all about here on America's Workforce, my brother. One more question here before you go. I know you're busy over there, 300 strong active members. How are we doing on organizing in the areas? You represent southern Wisconsin, parts of northern Illinois. What's that look like right now?
Actually, organizing is really starting to pick up. I think our new organizer that we have just started on about a year ago. He's a young guy, 29 years old, got some real excitement in him. He's really media savvy. He's really kind of taken to a lot of marketing. And with the marketing he's been able to do, it's gotten people excited. It's kind of given a little bit of a fresh face to it. And going and reaching out to people and stuff, he's actually been really quite successful in what he's been doing so far. So it's been an exciting time, but I think everybody's busy and everybody's looking for something else. And then when unions can offer what we can offer with benefits, with health insurance, with retirement and all that, it's a matter of selling it. And I think he's been able to really sell it.
Yeah, that's a tough sell to young people. But I tell you, once you start getting 25, 30 years, you appreciate those benefits. You really do. It's amazing.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
You know that, Mr. 34 years, don't you? All right, Brent Large joining us on our live line today. Business manager, Heat and Frost Insulators, Local 19, insulators19.com is our website. Please keep us posted on Elena, and we'll mention it here on the show. Okay, brother?
Absolutely, I sure will.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this staffing crisis at Social Security. You're listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes Liuna to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this next segment brought to you by the North Coast Labor Federation.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. And if you like a show, just share that show. We count all the downloads. Our sponsors want to know how many downloads we are getting, and I can report we're doing pretty good. We're in the top 10% of all podcasts in the world. We broadcast out of Cleveland. We podcast to the world. AWFpodcast.com is the website. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio right now. And joining us is Donna Winston. Donna's with the American Federation of Government Employees, their Social Security Division. She's with Labor Management Relations. She's a vice president. Website is AFGEC220.org. And you heard me talking at the beginning of the show about the staffing crisis at Social Security. And Donna is in that department. That's when you call Social Security Teleservice Center, the 1-800 number. And if you're on hold for a while, there's very good reason. Donna, welcome to America's Workforce. So you've been working at the Cincinnati office for 13 years right now. And why don't you explain, what is this something that's been going on for a long time? Is it, did it escalate during the pandemic? Give me a little history on this staffing situation. Go ahead.
Okay, so we have been understaffed for quite some years now, but I think it became very increasing as soon as the pandemic took place. So, for instance, we are down to, like, as far as caseloads in the time of the baby boomers who are all now applying for their retirement benefits, we have more than 600 claims that we haven't even taken yet, that we haven't been able to even get to yet. So that's over 600 people still trying to apply for their retirement benefits or disability. So we are in a critical emergency right now for staffing.
So why aren't they hiring more people? That's a part I don't understand, especially with those numbers that you just told our listeners here. What seems to be the problem?
That's a good question. We want to know, and that's why the AFGE union, when we went to Washington, D.C., that was the question that we had for our congressman. Why aren't we hiring more people? Because Social Security is actually the agency that we start from cradle to grave with trying to service the public. And with us not having enough people to service the public, it's a disservice to the public. Right now, we are hiring more people. But the thing is that the people now that we're hiring in, they're not trained properly because there's no one to actually train them. They actually just sit there in front of a module and they try to learn on their own. So as soon as we're hiring people in, they're leaving because they can't do the job. It's too overwhelming. It's too stressful. And our expectations from them is unrealistic. So that's another problem that we're having. So now that we're starting to hire people in, they're leaving as quickly as we're hiring them in because they're not being trained.
So as a result, Donna, I was reading this earlier, now the Social Security Administration has been designated as the worst place to work in the federal government. Now, you've been there 13 years. I would imagine right now the frustration is at a peak right now, right?
Oh, yes, it's horrible. When I first started here, I literally had coworkers that were in their late 70s working there. No one wanted to leave Social Security. They enjoyed their job. They were well-trained. It was a great place to work where we could really help the public. But now we were the number one agency to work for. Now we're 17 out of 17. So that's horrible. It's horrible. And right after the pandemic, when the pandemic happened, I think a lot of our good seasoned employees, they left. You know, a lot of people were scared. And basically, I think Social Security dropped the ball because no matter what, we have to realize that we're here to service the public. This is people's livelihood, their retirement benefits. This is people with disabilities that really need our help. And then all of a sudden, Social Security said, well, they can apply on the internet. Okay, so how do you expect people who didn't grow up using the internet to be so savvy to use the internet when this is something that pertains to their livelihood? And then we'll say, well, have your children or have someone help you. A lot of elderly people, children don't even come to visit them. So how do we expect for them to help them with the internet so they can receive their benefits? A lot of these people are disabled. They're already frustrated. They're sick. They're not feeling well. But yet we're saying, okay, well, just go online and apply for your benefits because we don't have the manpower. And then when we get the manpower in there, we're not training them. They don't know. It took me 6 months to actually train with two trainers in the room teaching our class. And then after that, we had mentors that sat with us while we took the calls. So now you have these new people coming in off the streets because we're not hiring a lot within the agency, which is another problem because you have people who are seasoned and they already understand the process. They're taking people off the streets who don't know what they're doing. They're not training them because they just have them sitting in front of a computer. And then as soon as we need help at the field office, you take them off of the computer, you put them out there to service the public. So then they're getting all this incorrect information. So guess what? Then they go home and then they call the 1-800 number. And the 1-800 number is trying to assist them. But then there's another problem because now the 1-800 number, we're so overwhelmed. They want us to take a call, get to the next call right away. So the people aren't being serviced. They're not getting a full understanding. So we most definitely need more people in the agency and they need to be trained properly because this is a disservice to our public. We're not able to service them the way we need to. And this is their livelihood. This is their paycheck, just like it's our pay. They need their money.
Donna, you said we need more people. Can you quantify that? What number are we looking at to make this work properly?
I would say right now, okay, so what the agency needs right now is $165 billion for a budget. Because for me to say, okay, I can't give you an exact number. I just know that all of these field offices right now, the local field offices, they're having about 10 people or 12 people. For instance, when I started at the teleservice center, there was 50 people working there. Now we're down to 10.
Oh, boy.
That's how bad it is.
That's bad. That's bad.
Yeah.
You know, the crazy thing about this, Donna, even though you're unhappy, even though people are leaving, the public still loves what you're doing. I was reading about the fact that the polling shows that Social Security Administration is the second most trustworthy federal agency right behind the National Park Service. So what you're doing, obviously, even though you're stressed out, overworked and all that, you're still hanging in there. But we got to get you some help. Now, have you gone to members of Congress? I mean, management is tone deaf. I get that. But what about members of Congress? They have to know what's going on here.
That's what we've been trying to do. When we go to Washington, D.C., to Capitol Hill, we're trying to make them aware. And actually, from our last visit, they did start allowing the agency to hire people. So that's a good thing. We have started hiring more people. But the bad thing of it is they're not trained. And, you know, with most people, you know, you take educated people or people who are just so determined to do a great job. And if you put them in a position where they're not trained and they don't know what they're doing, they're not going to stay. Because that's a stressful situation, because they're sitting there in front of people or on the telephone with people, and they have all of these questions and they can't answer them, or they cannot answer them correctly. And if you have any type of a conscience, you would not want to give people wrong information. So our turnover is horrible. People are coming in and people are leaving. The most important thing that we need to do is have people trained properly like we did before the pandemic, when they can actually sit down and have live people there training them. Because we can't tell if they're learning anything if they're just training themselves looking at a computer.
Yeah.
How do we know that they are getting a full understanding so they can make our public people understand?
Donna, it's sad that the people that you have there, especially the new hires, are giving out information that may not be accurate. On top of that, we have delays. And I was reading earlier about the fact that it now takes over 7 months to issue a decision on a initial disability claim. Now, during the pandemic, it was like 120 days. 120
exactly.
days. So it's 3 months longer. And as a result, in the last 11 years, 100,000 people have died waiting for that disability decision. And now, isn't that message getting through to the people in charge?
Evidently not. But one thing that I will say, most of the managers, they understand the dire need. I think a lot of them, their hands are tied as well, because their managers and the people on top of them and our congressmen, they have to do better. And they know this. So hopefully that's what we're doing. We're steady pushing that message. The union is steady pushing that message to congressmen, you know, and to our senators, letting them know, like, we're in a crisis here. And I don't know if they're going to actually realize the crisis when more of their loved ones start being affected by what's going on.
Don, I want to read a statement here from your president. That would be Everett Kelly, who's the president of the American Federation of Government Employees. It's well past time that members of the House and Senate recognize the disrespect of Social Security Agency employees that has hung vulnerable Americans out to dry. We're ready to talk to our nation's leaders about what actually needs to get done in this agency to see real results. So, wow. Keep us posted on this. We have a voice here on America's Workforce. You have a voice here on America's Workforce. Hopefully it'll resonate to the key people that can make these decisions. So keep in touch with us, okay?
I will. Thank you for having me on.
Donna Winston, and she is with AFGEC220.org, doing the telehealth 1-800 numbers. If there's a delay, now you know why. All right, that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the utility workers and the latest from the Valley Report. Until then, all of you, have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. find out more information online at labortools.com.